We're in a series here that's titled Relationships That Grow. We've been talking about how life is filled with relationships. There's work relationships, there's friendship relationships. Last week we talked about the marriage relationship and spouses and the primary relationship on our lives, the relationship that we have with God himself. And today we're gonna get into a relationship that is a little bit heavy, that I think could land on people in a lot of different ways in the room. And because of that, I chose to find the brightest sweater I had, come on, to lighten up the room a little bit, amen? In fact, it was actually March, the first Sunday of March, and so I thought, you know what? I was given this as a gift, and I was like, when am I gonna wear this? And I thought, you know what? It's Easter season, it's around the corner. I'm pulling out some pastel colorway here today. And I thought it could lighten up the mood a little bit for a heavy topic in the Word of God today. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's okay to laugh at church a little bit, all right? The joy of the Lord is our strength, right? And so we're going to have fun. At the same time, we're going to go a little bit deep into a subject that I think everybody in the room is able to relate to in some capacity. And my prayer is that you'll give this sermon, the duration of it, you'll give it a shot. You'll have ears to hear. You'll have a heart that's open to whatever God would want to say to you through his word. Amen? Amen. Well, with that said, if you're ready, say ready.
Ready.
If you're hungry, say let's eat.
Let's eat.
If you're ready to grow, say let's grow.
Let's grow.
Let's grow. Father, we're ready to grow. God, we don't want to stay the same. We want to get better here today. So right now, we call upon the Holy Spirit. Would you enter in this place, Jesus, in a fresh way during your word being preached? And God, would you give us spiritual ears to hear and a heart ready to receive? We ask for that now, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. As we look at this series, the title of today's sermon is Growing Through Broken Relationships. Growing through broken relationships. All right, I heard two amens and some moans. Okay. All right, right where we need to be. Growing through broken relationships. I want to just start off by saying, if you live long enough, and I would even dare to say if you're a Christian long enough, somebody is going to offend you. Come on. Somebody is going to wrong you. Somebody is going to talk about you. Somebody is going to get on your nerves, okay? Somebody is going to do something to you that's going to leave you feeling a sense of brokenness. And can I even just say up front, I love this church. I love this church family. And I would even say today, if you're a part of this church family, somebody here is going to offend you. It might be me. And you might be the one to me. But can I just say, that's part of the journey. That's part of walking with Jesus. In fact, I don't read a Jesus in the New Testament that is free from conflict and confrontation. In fact, every other chapter, Jesus seems to run into the tension. Amen? And he takes his disciples with him. Broken relationships is a part of life. It's a chapter in all of our books, but what we do with them matters. Do we respond like the world? Do we respond out of the flesh? Do we respond out of anger? How do we deal with broken relationships as believers and followers of Jesus? The good news is I believe the Lord has much to say on this topic. And one of my challenges throughout this series is I felt like each sermon could have been its own series, you know what I'm saying? It's like we're approaching the topic of friendship in a 30-minute chunk. We'll try to do our best, or the topic of marriage, or the topic of work. All these are big topics, and how do we grow in them? So I'm just going to give some bullet points, some things to consider in all of our lives on how we can not just have broken relationships, but how we can, say this word with me, how we can grow through broken relationships and possibly see broken relationships grow into health, if the Lord would will. Amen. So that's what we're talking about here today. And before I do that, I do want to just make one mention of a reality statement that I've shared in all of the different sermons up to this point. If you miss this, you miss the whole thing. And here's the beginning of this series. Come on, read it with me off the screen. Ready, set, go. The primary calling on our lives is not religion for Jesus, rather a relationship with Jesus. Hear me, church family. Hear me online. The goal for 2024 is not to be a more religious you. It's not to grow. There was not a sermon in this series titled Grow in Religion. But the foundation that all these sermons are planted in, the soil, is that we would grow in our relationship with Christ. That Jesus really does desire to know you more, to know you better, and that you would know him more and you would know him better. And all the other relationships in our lives are informed by the one primary relationship with him. Amen? Christ in you, Christ through you, as you continue to grow deeper in that relationship, it affects all the other relationships. But one it really affects, come on somebody, is broken relationships. I really believe that Jesus wants to get in there. And he wants to do some things in us and through us. So the first point of the sermon today, if you're going to grow through broken relationships, is this. Number one, pray for the person regularly. Come on. Pray for the person regularly. And in case you're here today and you're like, another sermon, not for me again. I just seem to have all great relationships. I can't think of a single person that's ever had a broken relationship with me. I think that this is one that I'm just going to tune out and scroll. And I would caution you to see if you're delusional. Because I believe all of us in the room have some type of relationship, and some of our minds right now are going to a relationship that was 10 years ago. And you know you haven't talked, but you know it's still broken. Some of you are going to a relationship that was 10 days ago, and you feel the weight of it, and you feel less free because you know that there's something that's broken, and you're not quite sure how to navigate that. And praise God, the Lord brought you here to hear a word from his word on this topic. The first thing to do is pray for that person, and you can even add a little S if it's persons, regularly. On the regular basis, taking time to pray. Let me give you this reality statement I wrote down in my notes as I was working on this. Prayer can do more for a broken relationship than you could ever do in your own strength. We believe that we go to God in prayer and he responds to the prayers of his people. In your own strength, you can accomplish some, but come on, how many of you know that God can do more in 5 minutes of prayer than 50 years of work? God can. I don't know all the reasons why God has chosen to limit his sovereign activity to our praying. But he drew that up in his Bible. James says, "You have not because you ask not." We should be asking God about relationships and how to navigate those. One of the books that I love to read on a daily basis is a devotional by a pastor named Henry Blackaby, who recently went home to be with the Lord. And Blackaby writes in Experiencing God Day by Day. I did find out we have 4 of those for sale afterwards because they've kind of been gobbled up, but we're going to get more. If you want to buy one, we got 4. Encourage you to get it. It's a daily devotional. But one thing Blackaby says as I was reading on this topic, he says, God will use your prayer times to soften your heart and change your focus. Oh, yeah, I didn't hear that quote. Let me try it again. God will use your prayer times to soften your heart and change your focus. As you pray for others, the Holy Spirit will work in your heart so that you have the same compassion for them that God does. You see that in Romans 8, 26 and 27. If you don't love people as you should, pray for them. Now, I want to just be a man of integrity and tell you that whenever I'm working on a sermon, I have to preach it to myself first. And this week, can I just tell you, as I was preparing this first point, I began to think, let me try this. Let me actually apply this first point, and I got some relationships that are not quite healed the way that I would like for them to be there, there would still be in the category of broken. Let me just take 2 minutes right now and try. And in those 2 minutes of prayer, I realized this. As I started praying people's names, and I started praying over the situation that I was still remembering, and I started praying over the feelings, and started praying for their families, and started praying for the situation, and started praying for reconciliation, started praying for, I just started, my heart just began to shift in those 2 minutes. I felt different. And I realized this actually works. As I began to actually pray for the relationship, and you know what I also realized? Man, it's been a minute since I prayed for them. I can't even tell you the last time I prayed for those people. I need to pray for them more regularly, and I need to pray for myself in these certain relationships that God would bring a new level of freedom and healing if he would want to do that. It began to soften my heart and change my focus. You know what I realized? It's hard to be prideful in prayer. When you're talking to God, who saved you from all of your sins, and who had compassion and grace towards you, when you're in those moments talking to the Savior in Jesus' name, it's really kind of hard to still stay as bitter as you were before prayer. Something about the Holy Spirit in those moments does something in us. But I would even say, don't just take my word for it. Take the Lord's word for it. In Matthew chapter 5, as Jesus is unpacking the incredible Sermon on the Mount, come on, read this with me off the screen. Ready, set, go. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus himself starts to bring some new revelation to his readers and his listeners. And he says, now look, I know that you have heard different things. And listen to me, Walk Church. Listen to me online. Don't get your wisdom from what you just heard from either social media or a meme or the flesh or the news station or just what you saw other people do and their standards. No, get your wisdom. Jesus says, but I say to you, let that be the louder word. Yeah, I get that you've heard all that, but what does he say? Jesus says, well, I'm actually calling you to love your enemies. And I want you to talk to me about those who persecute you. I want you to pray for those individuals. And it's interesting in some of the different translations, this is the ESV, but some of the other translations say, pray for those who bother you. Pray for those who hate on you. Pray for those who frustrate you. Pray for those who pick on you. Pray for those who get on your nerves. Come on, right? Jesus is saying, hey, I want you to pray for the broken relationships in your life. And one of the things that's going to happen when you do that is you're going to grow. God wants to grow you. And so in praying for those broken relationships, he's going to do just that. Can I tell you, when it comes to broken relationships, God wants to do something in you. It's an invitation for you to grow. And that leads me to the second point of the sermon. As you continue to pray regularly, the point number two is to examine yourself authentically. Examine yourself as if you're looking in the mirror, but not just looking for how cool and beautiful and awesome you are. But come on, authentically. The truth is, everybody in this room has some blind spots. And we have some inconsistencies. And none of us have arrived. Amen? Until we get home, capital H, to eternity with Christ, and we're transformed into our new glorified bodies with our new minds, where there's no sin, there's no death, there's no pain. We're not there yet. Praise God for the realities of eternity with Christ. But while we're here, we look in the mirror and we think we're not there yet. We're authentically growing. When it comes to broken relationships, I want to encourage you to examine not the other person, but yourself authentically. Let me give you the definition for the word examine. Examine, by definition, is to inspect someone or something, in this case yourself, in detail to determine their nature or condition. Investigate thoroughly. When you have a broken relationship, this sermon is not going to get easier. I'm just giving you the disclaimer. When you have a broken relationship, I want to encourage you to examine yourself, investigate yourself, inspect yourself, and see, was I tripping? Was I the one that was it me? Was I at fault? And here's what I've realized. Sometimes it's 90% the other person, but you got 10 in there. It could actually be 99%, but you got 1% in the examination that said, boop, beep, beep. And then you open that folder, and then the Lord begins to show you because you're praying about it. You're praying regularly, in fact. You're examining authentically that there's something that you might need to say the most wildest statement ever. I was wrong. Whoa. I love what Charles Spurgeon says about this topic. Spurgeon says, a man who says I was wrong really says, in fact, I'm a little wiser today than I was yesterday. The person who says, yeah, I missed it. I was wrong. My job is not to investigate you thoroughly. That's the Holy Spirit's job. In fact, he can see the things of the heart. I only can see the outer appearance, right? But as I investigate me, I realize there's some stuff that I was wrong. But can I just tell you, Walk Church, can I just be completely keep it 100 honest with you today? People will go to the moon and back to have to never, ever, ever say, I was wrong. I was waiting for you to apologize. Praying regularly, you realize you did contribute in some way. And you know that the Lord is, through your examination, putting something on your heart, and that he's prompting you to say, I'm stuck. I'm stuck. Can I just say, get more familiar with saying, I'm sorry. Let's not make apologies foreign and radical in the New Testament local church. That should be normal. We're all fallen. Amen. We're doing relationship with one. If you go to church every week, we see each other every week. If you go to a small group, come on, you're really growing, right? You see each other twice a week, potentially. Maybe if you're doing life more than that, right? We're bound to offend each other. It's going to happen, especially for the married couples in the room. This sermon applies to you guys, to parents and children. If the relationship is broken, pray for that person, but also examine your own self. And it's okay to say, I was wrong. In fact, listen to me, Walk Church. In doing so, you're growing. You're wiser. You're better. You're freer. The call to examine ourselves is not just a good idea here, but I think it's very much a biblical idea. We see Paul in 2 Corinthians 13. He presses in on this topic, right? He says, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves, he says, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? What's Paul saying here? Well, first off, the Corinthian church was jacked up, all right? And before we go judging, we got our own issues, okay? The church, I think if Paul were to transport back to America and he would write a letter to the churches in Las Vegas, and they would go around, they would read the same letter to all the different churches in Las Vegas. And the church in Las Vegas has issues. And Paul is writing to the church in the city of Corinth, and he's saying, hey, you guys got to do a better job examining yourself because y'all are tripping. In fact, they got two books, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, because he had a lot to say to those cats. Some of y'all aren't even in the faith, man. Like, y'all doing some wild stuff. And there's something about examining. Come on, let me see the definition of examine one more time. Right, the word examine means to inspect, investigate thoroughly. I want you to investigate yourself thoroughly. Because what happens? If you investigate thoroughly and you realize a blind spot, You got better. You grew. You might not make the same mistake again. You might actually be the reconciler that God's called you to be to unleash freedom in somebody else. Come on, right? So the investigation is actually for your good. It's for your healing. And I want to encourage you to trust him in that. Let me give you the third point. So we're praying regularly. We're investigating. We're examining authentically. The third point is to own your fault responsibly. Own your fault responsibly. The reason why I use the word responsibly is because you should never own something you didn't do. You should never apologize for something you didn't do or say. I'm not encouraging anybody to lie or not have integrity. But in the context of praying and listening and examining, if you recognize that you're at fault for something, in humility, I want to encourage you to own it. Own it. Come on, everybody say, own it. In fact, tell the person next to you, say, own it. Own it. Hey, some of y'all didn't do it. Come on, try it. Some of y'all didn't do it. Do it again. Come on, tell the other side, own it. Own it. Online, own it. Put it in the chat. Own it. Own it. Own it. There's power in ownership. So that doesn't mean the apology is, I'm sorry you feel that way. That doesn't mean the apology is, hey, I'm really sorry that happened and that you thought that. You know, that in fact, a lot of ways is lying. You're not sorry that a person feels that way, because if you really were sorry that a person felt that way, then you would own why the person may feel that way, and you would examine that you may have had some fault to do with that. To own your fault responsibly. Not blame shifting, not doing the detective work on what they did, and if they apologize, well, then you'll pull out your apology. But what if you, in an initiative way, as a follower of Christ, as part of this church family, says, you know what, I can't control what other people do, I can't control how other people receive, I can't control what other people think or say, but here's what I can control: my own obedience to God. Right? Notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18. He hits on this topic in verse 15. Matthew 18, verse 15, Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Between you and him, say that word with me. Alone. Alone, right? You don't got to tell 1,500 people and post about them subliminally on your Instagram story before you live out one verse. You don't got to unfriend, block, refriend, block again. You don't got to call a prayer meeting. You just got to live out verse 15. At least try first. At least try verse 15. I'm trying to help you. Appreciate the help. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. And can I just tell you, I'm just so in the season of gain. I just like love gains. Wins. Like, come on, right? Come on, this is Las Vegas. We like to win, amen? Let's grow, right? We want to see some gains happen. We don't want to see some deficits, some defeats happen. Jesus wants to see some gains happen, right? Now, there's two sides of this text that's important, and both require a level of humility. In fact, let me give you just a thought on humility. I think one of my favorite verses in Proverbs chapter 18 hits on the topic of humility. Look at this verse with me. Before destruction, a man's heart is haughty. Haughty. That's just like a word you don't like, haughty. Hey, you know what haughty means? The word haughty means that haughty and pride are like married together, right? Haughty is the relative of pride. Haughty is puffed up. all about self, ego. Man, Hati is like, man, check me out. It's all about me. When you're there, destruction's around the corner. You're on your way to destroy yourself. But humility comes before honor. What happens when we go to reconcile or make a relationship right? When we prayed, we examined, we recognized, I got some fault. It's just a little bit, but I want to own that because I'm not trying to figure out all the other stuff, but I do want to own what I can own responsibly. And so you set up the Starbucks meeting and you're sitting there in the parking lot and you're thinking and you're nervous because you don't know how that person's going to respond. But here's what you want. You want the person to honor your meetup. You want them to honor your heart. You want them to honor your apology. You want them to honor the discussion, the conversation. Amen? Well, humility goes before honor. If you want honor to happen, plant the seed of humility. The root word for humility is the word humiliate. So the reason why I think we're scared of apologizing and owning is because we might get embarrassed and we might have to say, can I just say, go for it. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus says, hey, you might have to humiliate yourself in a sense of ownership in order to see freedom really happen. The reason why Jesus calls us to this playbook is because, honestly, he wants you to be more free. I've been around long enough to realize that free people, free people. Healed people, heal people. Come on. Hurt people, hurt people, right? Honored people, honor people. Come on, right? I think that you should approach this point, right? Own your fault responsibly with a sense of humility. Now, let's look back at Matthew 18, because there's two people in this conversation. First off, it's the person who's offended. The brother or the sister sinned against the person. So you're the one that's offended. You're on that side. But this person may or may not even know that happened. Here's what it doesn't say. Pick up your ball and go to a different court. Go to a different church. Never say nothing about it. Just drift off. I don't like confrontation. I'm just leaving. Don't be that guy. Don't be that girl, please. The body needs you. The kingdom needs you. Please do not say, I was offended. I'll never tell them because I don't want to have any trouble. I'll just leave. That's exactly where Satan wants you. And that will be the point of your growth. That's why this message is important. That's why Jesus calls you to deal with it. Why? He wants you to grow. He wants you to experience freedom. And the only way to do that is to step in and two-letter word here, go. And tell, it takes humility to tell the person their fault. It takes humility to do this word, to listen. You need listening, you need sharing, you need humility for both. Come on, amen? And what happens? Gains. Growth. Look at the family language, brother. Come on, right? This is real Christianity. I don't know if you're familiar with a counterfeit, but I just don't have time for that. And I believe Jesus is too clear and too good to deceive us here into doing something that won't help us. So I'm asking, I'm pleading with you. Believe that, do this, go for it. Don't say that you never were challenged to do it. You are, and it's for your good. Oh, I couldn't say that enough. Let me go ahead and talk to you about one more verse that I think is important when it comes to this point, and that's what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. Now, Paul had a lot of different people he upset. Paul was getting jumped and beat up and, you know, stoned with rocks, and then he was going to the Jews and upsetting the Jews, and he was going to the Gentiles and upsetting the Gentiles, and you know, he didn't quite know where he fit in. And I think that's why Paul is writing to the Romans, which is a whole nother story, right? And Paul says this: look, if possible, when it comes to owning responsibly, if possible, because sometimes it's not possible. Why? Well, because maybe that person passed on and you missed your moment. And they're no longer here. Or maybe that person blocked you on every device and account and you're like, I have no way to get to even try this. Paul says, hey, God knows your heart. If it's possible, and the person doesn't hate you that much, or you don't hate them that much, this is a message for you. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. In other words, live in that shalom. That shalom peace that is free. You could walk past them with your cart in Walmart and you don't feel any type of bitterness or shade or but you're free. You got shalom. Don't be a peacekeeper, which just says they're on that side, I'm on this side. As long as we don't see each other, we'll have a counterfeit peace. But be a peacemaker, which says I'm going to you to make peace. As far as it depends on me, I'm going for it. I'm going to make peace with who? Well, with everybody. Paul says, as far as it depends on me, I'm going for it. Beloved, walk church, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Listen, when you go to, you've prayed, you've examined, you're ready to own your fault, leave the rest to him. You don't even need to defend yourself. God said, I'll do that. Yeah. You don't even need to get vengeance. God said, I'll do that. How much do you trust he will? Paul says, Romans, listen, leave that to the wrath of God. That's even more powerful than what you could do in your own convincing. Focus on you. Be the leader. Be the person that you want to see on the other side of that. You can trust him in that. Here's what I wrote down in my notes as a sermon application. Don't allow fear of how someone will respond rob you of being obedient to God today. And I'm saying that because I've been there. Well, church, I've been there where I've just thought, I don't want to do that because of how I think they might respond. But God didn't call me to worry about how someone will respond as much as he called me to be obedient to him. Good, and to trust. And can I just tell you, majority of the times where I've done that and trusted him, it's in the middle of the meeting that I go, God, you really are good. Wow. I'm glad I trusted you. I'm glad. And I'll just say to you today, because this is a tough topic, and I know that it hits on everybody in a different way. And it does for me too. That's why I had to take time to pray this past week to apply this. And as I search and examine my heart, I would say to you today with integrity that when I think through my own life in this past decade of church planning, if you were to ask me, do I have broken relationships in my life? I would tell you today, I do have some broken relationships. They're not where I'd like for them to be. But I would also tell you with integrity that the relationship is broken. And it's not because on my part, I wasn't willing to, as far as it depended on me, own responsibly, pray regularly, and examine myself authentically. And so the reason why I share that is because the person on the other side may not receive it, but you trust God with that. You can still go to sleep with the peace of the Holy Spirit knowing that you were obedient as far as it depended on you. But only you know if you've done that. And so if you need to set up a coffee meeting, if you need to send some text messages, if you need to just say, hey, I've had some growth in my life. I'm no longer the same person I was back then. And I realized I had some immaturities and some inconsistencies. And the Holy Spirit's been kind to reveal those things to me. And I'm sorry for the way I blank. And I'm sorry for the what I blank. And I apologize. I pray you'd forgive me. And you trust God with that. Can I just tell you, it makes you more free. It makes you more healed. It makes you more anointed. It makes you more powerful. Because you're open to whatever the Holy Spirit wants you to do. You're not blocked. Does it take humility? Oh, it takes death. It takes self-denial. It takes, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. But Christ wants to heal relationships in your life more than you do. And so you're inviting him to do just that. Let me give you the last and final point as we close, because I think this last point really may be the most important out of all of the important points. Remember the gospel continuously. 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 And the word continuously, it just means don't stop. You got to keep remembering that the thing that Jesus is calling you to do is the thing that Jesus did for you. You remember the gospel continuously. You remember that you were hostile to God. You were on the wrong side of God. You were sinful and you had broken God's law. You were the clay that was rebellious to the potter. You were the one that was in the wrong toward him. And God does not give you what you deserve. Instead, he gives you his son. He gives you his blood. He goes to the cross. He goes and takes on the thorns. He goes and puts spikes in his hands and feet to reconcile the relationship with you, and has the belief in you that you would then carry that same message of reconciliation to those in this church and to those in this city and to those in our lives. Let me show it to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at these verses with me. Please don't tune out. We're almost done. All this is from God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Who through Christ reconciled us to himself. Ooh, that's a verse. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Listen to me, brother and sister. God has entrusted to you this message. You're responsible for what you did with the message of reconciliation. You're responsible. You've been entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. All of us should be reconciling. You know, a couple years ago, a pastor friend of mine came up to me and he said, "Mr. Reconciliation." I was like, "What type of greeting is that?" And he just said, "No, man, I just noticed like you have a pattern in your life of really prioritizing these things." And I don't say that because I want to be weird. I just feel like I've been entrusted with the high calling of what Christ has done for me. And so we should all be ministers of reconciliation, bringing things. Reconciliation, that's a financial word. It means to zero out the account. Anything left on your account that you just haven't quite figured out yet, the ball's in your court, you got to pay for that. You got to get that situated. You got to zero it out. This could be your moment to do it. God will do it through you. If you would say today, "Hey, Pastor Hayden, honestly, like, it's too heavy for me." And we've had moments, Nina and I would say, we've met with people and they said, it's just too heavy for me. I sympathize with that weakness, that struggle. And I would encourage you to invite the Holy Spirit to do the heavy lifting that you can. Now, I was thinking this past week, Nina and I, we've been doing some renovations on our house, and we did some new flooring, and I had some extra like tile boxes that we didn't end up using. And so Nina encouraged me to go take them back. Come on, right? And so I was trying to pick up these boxes and I was gonna go move them to my car, but like them jokers were a little bit heavy. So I was like trying to like get underneath them. And then Hayden Jr., my 4-year-old, came up and said, "Dad, I got it." And he couldn't even move it at all. So he's just, I said, "It's all right, son. I got it. Come on." And so I got up under it and I was holding it like this and I was walking out the door and I noticed little Hayden Jr. was behind me with one hand underneath. "Told you I got it, Dad." Right? And I was like, "Oh, come on. Yeah, you got it. And I remember trying not to like bump him too much, and I put all that in the car, and he looked at me and said, I told you, I got this, Dad. Come on, right? And I was proud of him for trying, but I realized you didn't lift a thing. That's like us and the Lord. He's going to do the Father. He's going to do the heavy lifting. The stuff you can't do, you try to push and move and heal these broken relationships. God, do it. I just want to. God, I need you to do the heavy lifting. And he says, would you just show up and do your part and just own responsibly? You don't have to do a big old dance on why. You don't have to unpack your whole story and your whole commentary and your whole. You just got to own responsibly. Trust God with the heavy lifting. Come on, amen. God's too good to not do it for you. And you can trust him in this, amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word today. I believe that everybody in this room needed this message in some capacity. Whether we're on the receiving end of reconciliation or we're on the initiating end of reconciliation, God, I pray that we would take broken relationships to you, Lord, and that you would do the heavy lifting. Even right now, if you're in this room and just with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're watching this online, just take a moment, close your eyes and just go into this moment of prayer with me. If you have relationships in your life that you know just are not quite where they need to be, and this sermon has maybe evoked some emotion and some memories of those things and those people, would you just lift your hand right now? There's hands up on the left side, in the middle, on the right side. There's hands up on the stage. My hands up. Jesus, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, just interlock with every finger and hand that's up right now and just remind them, I'm in it with you. Holy Spirit, tell the people in this room and on this stage, I'm in it with you. I'm in it with you. It's okay. I'm in it with you. I know your tears. I know your pain. I know your heart. I'm in it with you. And Jesus, would you do the heavy lifting? Would you do the freeing? Would you do the holding and the molding and the saving and the forgiving? We ask you, Jesus, to do that in and through each person in the room. Give us that humility. And God, I want to pray for one more group of people in the room today. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to pray for you right now. If you came in here and you just said, you know what? I don't know that I know this God. I know about him, but I don't know him. I want to invite you to pray with me right now. Just say, Lord, I believe in you. I'm ready. I open my hands and my heart to you. Forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit now. I believe in you and I trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.